everybody. This is Preston Johnson. Welcome to A Petty Moose. This is episode 6. I am at Sports Cheetah on Twitter, and this is Linda Train, Matt Lindemann. He joins me. This is brought to you by Guru Elite. I need to mention that more often. You can find a lot of my stuff there. I'm doing extra content there throughout the week, every week on all these leagues, but we're getting to do this podcast for the masses for free. And Matt's here joining me as usual. Something I wanted to just bring up, let you tout your own, lines over at Caesars for a minute. But pretty cool. You're doing in-season win totals. You only did 10 teams. I kind of got a hint that this was happening like a week ago. I know you mentioned something about it happening. You did 10 teams. I wouldn't bet at any of them. I was joking with you today, but that's good. I went through briefly just to see if like you would maybe book my action on one or two of them. And there's nothing I would maybe bet. I think closest was actually maybe Florida over because it was like plus 145. And it's basically they're going to lose to Georgia, but could they win out the other games? So anyways, it was really close. But anyways, tell us a little bit about why you did it or how that came to be and if you guys have had any action yet.
Yeah, so I've been trying to push Jeff at work. He's my boss, and, you know, getting him to try some of these different things, see if we can do some stuff like this. So I said to him last week, I said, you know, the way I'm going through and doing these conferences is I'm kind of figuring out, you know, how many projected wins these teams have left. So we pretty much already have the win totals. So, I talked to him in this week, and we kind of went through, and you want to do the good teams and the marquee teams, but they only really have one or two games that they could still potentially lose. So it's a pretty low variance, you know, right, thing to where there aren't a lot of different results that could happen. So we try to do some top 25 teams, you know, some teams that still have, you know, 3, 4, 5 games that are, you know, still questionable. So we did a few of those teams and it's been good so far. I mean, really not a lot of big action. No one really sharps come in and pounded or anything. So I think that's a good sign that the numbers are right. And
yeah,
hopefully that's something we can, you know, keep rolling. Maybe I'm going to try to do college basketball win totals. I don't know if he's going to go for it.
Really?
But that's my next goal for at least some of the teams. So,
when you're off Twitter for about the next 3 weeks straight or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Just and, digging in.
That's
going to
take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Impressive. I hope you are able to at least swing a few of, get Duke up there.
I'd like to do the marquee teams, obviously Kentucky. Yeah. You know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe if we can do 5 to 10 of them at least, that'd be cool. So
that's worthwhile for sure. You don't have to have super max limits where you could end up getting destroyed anyway.
No, I didn't have to be anything big.
Yeah, no, that's fun. That's good. Awesome. Well, welcome everybody to the show. Again, call in 702-364-1100 if you want to give us a call and talk about any of the games that are coming up this weekend. In the meantime, we can talk about the script for this podcast that I forgot to refresh. So I'm going to get that up in front of me. But as usual, we'll talk about a petty moose of the weekend. Mine was really bad. It was my second biggest single event swing in the history of my life doing this. And it was in the Wyoming-Hawaii game. We don't need to get into details, but it was a rough one. And I got some really good info that Cole McDonald was going to be out. And I'd already bet Wyoming plus 4 anyways early in the week and under 57 anyways. And then I found out he was going to be out. So hammered plus 3 on might have been Thursday or maybe it was, Thursday night, Friday morning. And anyway, sure enough, it moved and they closed like minus 4 because he was out. And whenever you have an advantage like that and you get some extra info, you got to, you know, tackle it. And I went for it. I had a ton riding on, you know, plus 3. And then Hawaii on the buyback was plus 3.5 and plus 4. I scalped some money line, which was helpful. But ultimately, Wyoming by 3 right at the end with a minute left would have been a perfect result. And then lost on a little kind of broken play, Hail Mary over the top with a minute and a half or so left. So anyways, it cost me a lot. That's my petty moose of the year. There's no way there'll be any beat that gets me more than that one did. I feel like, getting into now this week in general, I don't like the card much at all. I haven't bet many games at all. I hit some openers. That was it. And I don't know if it's because I have that in the back of my head Saturday night and I'm just not feeling confident or if there are games that are sticking out. I know you probably hit some openers and stuff. Totals, you know, those are moving pretty quick when they open right away to the point where it's tough to really bet more than maybe 3 or 4 totals per week at this point. So anyways, any moose of the weekend for you? And then if so, you can give us a little breakdown of it. And then if not, how are things looking for you this week as far as what you've bet and what you're looking at?
You know, I had a weird week. I don't want to say weird week. I guess it should be kind of expected this time of year. But I went through and counted last week. I think I had 15 or 16 bets. 11 of them were decided by a possession or less. And I think I went 3-8 on them, something like that. So it was just one of those where, you know, not necessarily dead wrong side, bad beat, anything like that, but just didn't get that one play, those two plays, you know, those couple swings you need to go your way to win those
games.
Go
8-3 instead of
3-8.
Like, yeah.
I'd say the most frustrating one, and I wasn't even going to win, but LSU plus 1. I held out, got the best possible number, I think, on LSU at plus 1, sitting on 1, and I'm happy with myself for, you know, taking the point and not taking the money line, and then they throw the pick 6 when the guy should go down. there, and he actually scored a touchdown to give LSU an opportunity to tie the game. So kind of frustrating when a player doesn't know what to do and it ends up costing you money when they, you know, do something that actually hurts their own team.
As but, you know, the way my day went, but I had under 45 and a half live.
Oh, man.
And that made it land 46. So I should have known it was coming later on the island. But anyway, so that actually cost both of us. I didn't realize you had taken LSU plus one.
Yeah, no, I had the Hawaii game too. I think a lot of us did, but I think that kind of got around on Twitter in the hours leading up. You kind of saw the move come, and just one of those tough things is a pretty bad beat, but that's how it goes in the Hawaii game. So
we have our first caller just jumped in. I think it's David. David, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're good. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Speaking of bad beats, how about NC State? -5.
Oh, I was on the right side of that. Oh, I forgot about that. That was a terrible beat. Yeah, I can't complain about anything.
I think you called in about it earlier. Anyway, what the hell? MLB models on that?
Ah, come on.
Yeah, and you liked it. I think you nailed it. And then they did the same thing they did against Virginia late. And like you said, I think they went into prevent mode and they gave up some scores. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty frustrating. Anyways, my question this week is, the numbers are obviously getting tighter, obviously getting sharper. And I know that throughout the week, like, you start off Sunday night and Monday, you're just betting, if you have, let's just say, for instance, this game, App State, Arkansas State, you have App State -11, the number comes out 7, you're popping it. You're just going off your power numbers. Mm-hmm. But then later in the week, you start sprinkling in games. You know, the more information you get some information on injuries, so forth, so on. Do you track that to see where you have a better percentage at? Is it off your openers or is it off your later in the week bets?
Nice. Yeah. So, David, for the people that are listening live, he's asking us about if we've tracked kind of our win percentage or ROI ultimately based on the time of the week that we're hitting games, whether they be openers or additions that you make on a Wednesday or additions you make, say, Friday night or Saturday morning. For me, I've tracked bet online openers, especially when I was more concerned about my personal bankroll and hitting them more regularly. Years in the past where, you know, if I could get 500 down on a bet online opener, that was pretty big for me. So I was going ham on anything I could. I think those always hit around 60% every year. So I would say, I think for like 3 or 4 seasons where I really tracked it, they were near 60% on bet online openers, but that's not really a super difficult task, especially when some of those numbers end up being, you know, 6 to 8 points off sometimes. So I wouldn't compare those to, I guess, the rest of the week, at least personally, but ones that I'm hitting, say, Monday morning or even like win openers or Chris openers, now that's going to be a lot different. And one thing I have noticed is playing against moves that I disagree with Saturdays, I do really well with for 2 seasons. And then I actually haven't really aggregated it this year. But for 2 seasons, betting against bigger moves that I disagreed, whether they be totals or sides, are 56.4%. I ended up looking that up a few weeks ago because someone had a similar question. And then this year, I feel like I've done similar with like a couple BYU unders that got steamed up. I bet against them. Anyways, so there's been a few spots this year. I feel like maybe that number's up closer to 57% now. So I think that's a small enough sample since I've tracked that specifically to really know one way or the other that I'm more successful in a certain time of the week versus another. But I think in certain cases, you'll have really, you know, sharp groups bet into a number or you know, whether they be syndicates groups or, you know, professional bettors in town, whether they're betting globally, they'll move it, you know, 2 or 3 points, and then everyone else wants the same play that they're on, and the word spreads around, and everyone chases it, which then moves it another 2 or 3 points. And I'm pretty confident to say those sharp groups or bettors aren't, you know, they're not, they'd probably, after a 6 to 7, 8 point move, they'd probably take the other side too. So it's not ultimately, I think, really, you know, logically weird that if you're betting against big moves throughout the week, that maybe, you know, a lot of these get too far or too ahead of the other, you know, side where there's probably value opposite. So for me, I would say betting the Saturday morning ones against bigger moves throughout the week's probably been my highest ROI versus even like the Monday, Tuesday opener stuff for sides and totals. Matt, I know I kind of went on a longer answer there, but do you have any different, yeah, I guess, have you tracked it yourself?
We're just trying to make MLB model weight at this point, right? So I say we take all
the
time.
Yeah, we can take another 10 minutes. I'm not sure if we can even listen, but yeah.
For me, I've never really tracked it. Obviously, it's one of those things where you know the CLV is a lot better You have quite a bit bigger edge mathematically betting the openers, but I've kind of come to accept that, you know, some of the openers I'm going to bet, you're kind of making a snap decision, you're rushed to judgment. So I've kind of come to accept that I'm going to have a little better number on the games that I'm betting early in the week, but I might not be as confident, might not like it quite as much, whereas later in the week, I'm probably not going to be getting quite as much value. I'm probably not going to have a game that's going to move 2 or 3 points after I bet it, but it's something that I've been able to kind of sit on all week and marinate and think about, and those are the games I like a little more. So I've never really noticed if one wins more than the other. It's just kind of an interesting difference between, you know, your opinion and, you know, just trying to take the best number possible.
Okay. One game, Duke, Georgia Tech. I like Duke. I'll leave you at that. Good night.
All right, so what he said, for those that are listening, and then we're going to get Rob on the line. He's been waiting for like 5 or 6 minutes. Thanks, Rob. He likes Duke, and that was when I considered hitting an opener. It was like +3, I believe, and it went down to 1. Now it's up to 2.5. But anyways, he said he liked Duke, and he ended with that. He said everyone should bet Duke. Rob, what's up, man? How you doing tonight?
What's up, guys? How are you? Long time, first time.
I think I've seen you on the Periscope feed like the last 2 weeks, so this is the third straight week that you've contributed. I appreciate that.
I've legitimately listened every week, honestly.
I know. That means a lot because I know you're usually asleep by now.
It is bedtime. I'm 2-3 bourbons deep, and you know, 10:30 comes, I'm out.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, so what's your question?
Are NBA championship odds off limits, or can we talk about that for a minute?
Go for it. Fire away. Matt
can't NBA?
Wait.
What?
Matt can't wait.
What are we talking about?
Listen, man, I'm all in NBA mode. I've spent my entire day on it, as I know Cheetah probably has.
I actually have. That's not a lie, but go ahead. Yeah.
So the last 2 years, I have faded the Golden State Warriors to my own demise. My question is...
Like betting their under or whatever? Or just like week
yeah,
two?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I've bet the season win total under, and I have bet no. You know, there's a few credit lines I have where I can bet the bet yes, no on the championship. So as the resident sharp, obviously I bet no for the last 2 years. But again, like they're laying like 190 to win the championship. Is that fair price for you guys or what?
Yeah. So this is good. So to relay it to the feed, he's questioning. I keep saying questioning. He's asking us a question about. He is questioning the current line on Golden State Warriors. He's throwing an NBA question out to win the championship. He said it's around -190 for them to win. He's curious if that's a fair price for what we think. I can get into like the actual numbers for a second, but he was also talking about how he's faded Golden State the last couple seasons, betting their season win unders or betting no, they won't win the championship. And then sure enough, they've won it both years. I think, to be honest, I have a friend of mine. One of my good friends here in Las Vegas is a big Golden State fan, and obviously he's been really keen and followed them closely. He knows them as well as anybody out there, and he actually really likes them this year. And he didn't think they were really going to care last season after they had already won one with Kevin Durant, which is understandable. And then they still kind of just get there anyway. I don't even remember how many wins they had off the top of my head exactly, but he said this year he thinks they're going to actually care a little bit more. They're probably a little bit better as far as depth goes. And then you had DeMarcus Cousins, and this is what I was going to get at as far as the futures price. Before the Cousins acquisition, I believe they were +125 to pick, depending on the shop. And now they're laying, you know, -190, like you mentioned. So is DeMarcus Cousins really worth that much? He's a pretty big upgrade, you know, versus any center that they've really played with for the last few seasons.
Right.
He'll be coming off an Achilles injury. The East no longer has LeBron. LeBron's a non-factor. So how much, like, the Lakers are never challenging him. So now if they don't even have to go through LeBron, how much easier is the path? And they got better. I actually think it's probably close. So I won't be betting no at, like, +160 or whatever it is that you might be able to find. And one thing I have done, so going, I guess, against what you did, but 2 years ago, I think it was the first KD season. They started a little slower, and I believe it was a Durant that actually got hurt. Or maybe it was Steph. One of them got hurt, and the odds were like pick with like a month left before the playoffs. And so
He was hurt for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a pretty big injury, and people weren't even sure if he'd be back at all, period. And I was like, well, even if he isn't, I felt like even without Curry, they might have a shot. So I went and bet. I had to go, you know, and drive down. It wasn't like a small app bet. I went in and laid a bunch on -120, I think, and ended up, you know, panning out. But I just think they're that much better than everyone else. And now you take away that they have to go through LeBron, who's the best player in the world. It's tough to really bet against them until they just die off, and which might be, and it's annoying as bettors and as fans and everything, until the Warriors die off. Like, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like, why do you even bother or dare to jump in and you know, just get steamrolled?
What an awesome sport, by the way, that in October you're already saying, why even bother? You know what I mean? It's just so brutal.
The closest odds, by the way, is Boston at plus 540. So the closest odds are not great.
Who do you think's going to win the East? Have you looked at it?
No, I'm just looking at Chris right now. I mean, I don't know. No, I can't handicap it. I'm just saying that Golden State minus 190 and everybody else is plus, like, you know, a massive number, 540, yeah. 875. So they're just massive favorites.
I will say this, and this is what I did, you know, 2 years ago. It's ultimately an injury bet. If they have a significant injury to Curry or Durant, like, you have a shot. It happened last year in the Rockets. Even with Iguodala out, they were a little bit worse. They couldn't defend as well. The Rockets could have won that series easily. And I know one of the other players wasn't even 100%, but it didn't end up mattering much. But, it's an injury bet. If they're healthy, there's no way anyone's beating them. Even now you had Cousins.
Well, can I ask who is the value bet? Who's the team that, you know, is 50-1 now and might end up 10-1, or who's 30-1 and could end up, you know, 6-1? Who's that team?
Rob has them up. I'm going to pull up Penny because I have Pinnacle.
I've got Chris live right here. What's
Tell
me what the Jazz are at.
Utah, they're plus 7,000. Houston's 875. Boston's 540. OKC's plus 373, plus
3750.
They might be the closest team. Oh, the Lakers, 1450. So it's basically Lakers, Toronto, OKC, Golden State, something nice. Like that.
I would say Jazz at 70-1 is probably my favorite. Yeah. All right. Anyway, hey, Rob, appreciate you calling in, bud.
Yeah, guys, take it easy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your night. NBA talk for for Matt.
No,
I remember I tried to get cute and I asked you if you would book, was it the Oklahoma City at 50-1?
Oh yeah, last
I sent
year.
You either 50 or 100 bucks, and
I had to sweat that for like a week, I think. But
then the Jazz took care of them. But I liked their acquisitions. Anyway, we won't get into NBA. We probably will occasionally now that it does start officially in like a week and a half. But let's jump into the Moneyline Dog Contest while we wait for calls, and then we can get into some Twitter questions on specific games. But there were 72. It's the best week that anyone's had. 72 Moneyline outright dog picks that were correct. And it was the best percentage by quite a big margin, because only about half the amount of entrants this week than the other 2 weeks, which is fine. But I think a few people gave up. But I don't think you should. I haven't done an aggregate yet score. But the Old Dominion guy at 28 hasn't won since. And I believe there's probably a few people that got San Diego State this past week that maybe had Texas Tech in week one, and they're sitting now at 27, which is only 1 point off the lead. So I'm going to put those together at some point tomorrow. It might not be till the weekend, to be completely honest. But I'm pretty sure that there's going to be people that are making runs at it, even if you had Iowa State, or there's a couple others. I can just pull them up real quick. UAB one is 9.5. New Mexico is another popular one. Northwestern is the other popular one, getting 10 points there. So there's going to be some people right there at least touching 20s, and, you know, anything can happen at that point. So if you didn't hear, I tweeted it out. If anyone calls in, well, I know the two people that did. If they get the Moneyline Dog right this weekend, then I'm giving them an extra 10 points. So if you want to call, if you have a question about a game, give us a ring, 702-364-1100. Real quick, one segment we wanted to bring in and just discuss ourselves before we get into specific games. Betting philosophies and angles that maybe change mid-season. If callers have any questions about that, give us a ring. But I was curious, Matt brought it up earlier today when we were discussing a little bit about what we wanted to talk about. And I was curious if you do have things that you tend to change, you know, outside of maybe volume just going down and being a little more tame on and how much you're betting.
Yeah, I would say this time of year, you know, this is something I've really struggled with every year probably up until now, is figuring out when to kind of scale back a little bit, you know, take some – you know, kind of take the reins off a little bit and slow down. And usually, you know, week 5, 6, 7, it starts getting a little bit tougher, and I'll make it through there. And then I'll have that one really bad week at the end of October, November, and I'm like, wow, I went way too far.
Why did I do that?
So this year I had, you know, kind of had a rough week, I think week 5, week 6. And so I said, I'm scaling back now. So I'm, you know, I'm kind of changing my approach to more looking for second halves now. You know, I want to see teams, see how they come out. You know, you have a pretty good idea what these coaches are trying to do, what their philosophy is. So I'm trying to focus a little more on second halves and not have, you know, 30 or 40 pregame sides early in the week.
I like that. go into second halves. Plus, you get some data and some information from those first halves that you can use to your advantage. We have Jay on the line. Jay, thanks for calling in. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not bad. How are you?
We're doing well. What do you have for us?
Hey, you know, I wasn't going to call in. I shot a message on Twitter earlier, but when you made that extra 10 points offer in the money line dog contest.
Now you have to call.
I had to, right?
You're eating dinner, and you told your wife you had to leave real quick to call in for the extra 10 points.
I'm calling from Chicago, so it's 9:30 here. So it's almost bedtime for a school night here.
That's right.
Or work night. But I tweeted you about the UCLA and Cal line.
Yep.
I know that Cal's just been terrible in the red zone, and I know UCLA put up some good yardage on a pretty good defense in Washington last week, but it still looks short to me. I just would like to get your guys' thoughts and see if you guys concur or if you kind of look spot on since you haven't hit anything yet.
Sure.
Well, this one was actually bouncing back and forth while we've been on the air here. It popped up to 8 real quick and then looks like came back down, settled at 7.5. It was 7 earlier, but I agree with you actually here. I got this game higher. I made Cal, I think, a little bit closer to 10. And, I mean, I watched UCLA last week. I bet them. I think we both had them. We had them in both our contests. And, they really are getting better. This looks like a team that's kind of a bet on down the stretch. Like, Kelly's starting to figure it out with the freshman quarterback. You know, they really move the ball well on offense. It wasn't like fluky touchdowns. They move the ball down the field. And just, Washington's better. But I do think they're trending in the right direction. But looking at Cal, coming off the really bad showing at home against Oregon, and then they went and they really outplayed Arizona, but they gave the game away on turnovers. So you got them coming off two bad losses. I'm still pretty high on Cal and Wilcox. This is a team that's also, or a program that's trending in the right direction also. So as much as I like what I'm seeing out of UCLA and some of their progress, I'm just not really sure this is a spot coming off kind of hanging with, Washington tough, going and playing a Cal team that's coming off two really bad losses. I think it's probably Cal or nothing here.
Yeah, for me, it's probably a pass. Now, I actually bet Cal second half plus a half point in that Arizona game. They were up 14-10. They gave up 0 points on defense, and I lost the bet. So that tells you a lot about where Cal's been. I think they had 3 red zone trips. There were 2 pick sixes, but 2 of the other red zone trips, because one of the pick sixes was on the other side of the field, they ended up getting 0 out of it. They did the same thing against Oregon. I think Oregon scored twice on defense, and another time they got inside the 10. So Oregon basically scored 3 times thanks to Cal's quarterback. I still don't know. This is going back, and it's really not really significant this week, but why Bowers all of a sudden disappeared after having a pretty good season last year, and why he all of a sudden just couldn't be the quarterback after that North Carolina game. He got benched at halftime. I don't know what he said. That's still one of the weirder stories that no one's talking about because it's just Cal football. But they ended up letting 2 guys, Garbers and then McElwain, who's been actually playing more often, who has a little more mobile ability. Those guys kind of battled it out, and now they are set on McElwain, I believe, who makes all these mistakes and gives other teams points. I don't know what happened to Bowers. He must have said something. He can transfer now. But that was one of the stranger, from starter for sure to you're not playing anymore by halftime of the first game against North Carolina, despite I think they had a 21-point lead at halftime. Anyways, that's really weird to me. I'm not going to probably back Cal again just because they've burned me now back-to-back weeks. But I will say UCLA's defense, part of it, I mean, Kelly's getting things going, but their defense, they played Oklahoma and they hung around enough. Even against Cincinnati, the game they lost, I think they only held, Cincinnati scored, 17 or 16 points. They've played Fresno, Colorado, Washington. I mean, they've played some really tough teams, and their defense still, I think it's only around 5 yards per play, opponents per play. And so adjusted for some strength of schedule stuff, I mean, they probably have a top 30 to 40 defense, if I was to guess, just off the top of my head. So I think that's one look, because I still think Cal's defense is pretty ridiculous, too. It's bounced from 53 to 52. I still had it a little lower. I think I was at 50.1 or so. So that'd probably be my best bet in the game, actually, outside of the side is betting under. But then I'm worried that if McElwain's just throwing pick sixes 2 times a game, then that's 14 points I can't handicap. So
let's not do that again. Yeah. That was terrible last time.
Hey, Jay, thanks for calling in, though. We appreciate it, bud.
No, thanks. Enjoy the show, guys.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think I can do it. There'll probably be a lot of people trying to hit teasers or something down to 1.5, maybe myself probably included. But, I think UCLA – I'm a UCLA fan. I think I've probably said that before. There goes Appalachian State. Nope. Shoelace, fake shoelace.
I'll tell you what, this App State team, we talked about them last week. What, they jumped 10 points in my PRs or whatever I was saying. I mean, they're pretty ridiculous. Yeah. And they got steamed. I mean, you don't see many teams laying double digits at Ark State in conference play, so – it must be legit.
I think Ark State had an extra couple days to prepare, too. I think both teams did, but pretty impressive. And they've held Ark State to just 3 field goals. Did we have a caller, or was it a fake out? It was a fake out call? Jared's like texting his mom. They need some calls. 702-364-1100. If you guys have any questions about games, we're going to dive into some of the actual Twitter questions we got for people that were unable to call. The first comes from... All right, this is actually good because Matt was just talking about betting second halves. This comes from Brash Lindbergh. He said, aside from a significant yardage discrepancy and stuff like that, what cues do you look for in live and halftime wagering? Are they different between NFL and college football?
Yeah, I think, you know, more so than just looking at the yardage discrepancy, I think you do need to probably have some idea what the yards per play is. That helps kind of understand, you know, did a team just not possess the ball the whole half and, you know, they were efficient when they did have the ball, or, you know, did they just pretty much get dominated? And then another thing, I think you really need to have an idea of the play-by-play, kind of how things played out. You know, did they bust one or two big plays, stuff like that. Then as far as like kind of what you want to do for the second half, I really think you have to apply some game theory. I think you have to go in and say, okay, how is this score going to affect how each coach, you know, approaches their second half? Something to me, which I think is a little bit easier for totals to do that than sides in the second halves. But then, you know, you get a little bit of a feel for teams and how they play, you know, maybe the game they're coming off of, what they're looking ahead to, where their head's going to be if they're up big at half, stuff like that. So there are some things you can take advantage of as far as what the situation is in the game, what the score is, and, you know, how a team is going to approach the second half.
I will give one example because they're not always this easy, and then we're going to get to Eric's call. So just bear with us for about a minute. The Packers were playing the Lions on Sunday. They were down 24-0 despite, I think, a 190-70-yard differential.
Right.
And you look at yards per play, and it was still, like, remarkably favored towards Green Bay, and they were down 24 points. They hadn't scored, and Crosby was missing field goals. There were some turnovers. And that move from -3, I had to lay juice on 3 and bet 3.5 to 5.5. That's a massive move for an NFL second-half side. And it was just one of those where, on top of the fact that all the numbers and the discrepancies from the first half and everything pointed towards the Packers probably coming back, if you know the way these teams actually play, and the Packers do it themselves, but the Lions especially, like if they have a lead, they completely sit on it, run the ball. Plus, they were struggling to move the ball offensively anyways. But Stafford, I mean, they're at their best when they're down in the fourth quarter and Stafford's just airing it out over and over. When they try to sit on it, run on the ball, they're a lot weaker anyway. It ended up being a pretty easy win because Green Bay came out right away and ended up scoring a couple times. That's an example, though, I think, of knowing the actual kind of coaching philosophy or how things are typically done. When you're up 24, no matter what coach you really are, you're going to try to run the ball and just end the game and, you know, get the clock going. And I think that was one thing where Detroit's offense, granted they're a little better with Kerryon Johnson rushing the football this year, it's not their strength still. And if you're now able to get a team's weakness essentially for half of their plays or maybe more against a team like the Packers who are just going to throw every play down 24, that made too much sense. So I think that's an example that was...
I do want to point out before we take this call, I know it's just an example, but I think you got to be careful with teams like the Packers laying a bunch of points at half after they dominate in the first half yardage-wise. I think, you know, a lot of people fall into that trap. Oh, they crush the Lions in the first half. They're an easy bet second half. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's not necessarily always, you know, this team dominated the first half. They're going to come out and dominate second half, you know, but... I mean, it's just a difference in opinion.
It could have easily gone. It could have gone 31-0, and then they don't really try anymore. I mean, that's possible. But the line did move from 3 to 5.5.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you know, it's just one
although
of those
there's people that probably would have bet +6.
You know, I think we've talked about so many times where you see a team dominating the, you know, yardage, and you just have to say, okay, can this team actually do it for 60 minutes? You know, so it's tough. It's not really anything cut and dry.
Eric, are you up with the line now?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Hey, man, what are you doing tonight? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Matt. Any word if Stoops has signed that running back worth handing it to on third one yet?
Man, that was tough. I mean, you know, I want to start giving this guy credit, and then they can't figure out to put the ball on your supposed Heisman candidate's hands with 3rd and 2 in the game on the line. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I love that tweet. I'm late to the Periscope tonight. You guys may have already touched on this game. West Virginia, Iowa State.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Nice. I like it. Do you have any thoughts before we actually tackle it yourself?
I mean, the number seems pretty good to me, but just something, I don't know, I want to take Iowa State in this one. West Virginia still hasn't really showed me anything. You know, the Kansas State win looks worse and worse. They caught Texas Tech after their big win, so I don't know, I like Iowa State this week.
So I think the number is a little high, but West Virginia got steamed up, if I recall, from 4.5 up to 6.5. I think 4.5 is probably a good number. I don't know if it's enough for me to bet Iowa State off their – I guess you call it road upset. It was one over Oklahoma State. They scored, what was it, 40? It's hard for them to score 48.
49 points, yeah. They've been a defensive team
this year.
Pretty
good. They're usually defense, you know, they play defense, ball control, keep it close, give themselves a shot. They've done that for 2 years now under Matt Campbell. But they're kind of – are they the new Kansas State where if they're getting points, let alone at home, you just take them?
Sure, seems like it,
they just keep covering anyways.
Yeah, they find a way. Good coach with a good defense. Pretty nice to take double digits.
Did you bet the game at all then, or are you looking at it in any other way?
Yeah, this game – I actually already played this game. I played Iowa State. They actually brought in a quarterback last week, Brock Purdy, a freshman. And this guy went absolutely off on Oklahoma State on the road in his first start. They're saying he's the most versatile quarterback they've had in a while at Iowa State. So kind of interesting shakeup with him at quarterback. This is, a situation where they could potentially just be way better now because offensively that's where they were struggling before last week. So, I will say I'm high on West Virginia. I like what I've seen out of this team. And, you know, they haven't really, you know, had any bad performances yet, but they just haven't been tested. You know, the NC State game got canceled. There really haven't been any other defenses that they've faced that have, you know, are going to present the kind of challenges Iowa State does. So I think, you know, going to be a really tough first road game, laying 7 against a good defense and a great coach in Matt Campbell. Just kind of seems like a no-brainer to take the home dog.
So I actually had the over. It was one of my winners that I actually got on Saturday last week in the Oklahoma State game. I bet it at 52.5, 53, I think. I liked it up pretty high, and it moved a couple points. It wasn't like a massive move or anything. And it was one of those where the number said it was a little short, but when you match up against Oklahoma State, even the year prior with a worse Iowa State team, it was I think it was the exact same score, or it was 49-42 if the final score this time was 48-42. But it's one of those where you kind of get teams that are somewhat capable offensively, and they kind of get into this back and forth thing. And I thought, you know, Oklahoma State, I kind of have been down on them most of the season. I think the two times that they didn't cover were the two times I didn't bet against Oklahoma State this year. This was one of them. But I cashed on the over. But this is another look now that you're saying, you know, the new quarterback, maybe potentially Iowa State's offense is better. Would you consider looking at betting over? I think 57.5 is the current market number. I'm not sure where your number lines up, but that might be a look. You know, if Will Grier, now, if Iowa State's able to score and then Will Grier's playing catch up, or it's just back and forth, similar to that Oklahoma State game, you know, this could end up being in the 70s or 80s.
I think you could consider it, but, you know, like I was saying, you just haven't seen them against a real defense yet. Who's the best defense they've played? Tennessee, Kansas State, Texas Tech, and Kansas, you know? So it could be one of those things where West Virginia gets punched in the mouth and they don't even know what to expect.
Look last year real quick. Just pull up last year's.
All right.
I know Greer didn't play a couple games towards the end of the year, but I'm curious, like, against Iowa State.
Oh, it was 20-16 last year, yeah.
So it was lower scoring last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's something. If I recall, that was a week after Iowa State upset TCU too, and then people thought that they were going to get crushed. I might be lying, but then it ended up being a really low scoring game, and Greer threw like 3 picks. And anyway,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Iowa State was ranked, so I'm guessing. Yeah, probably, but not sure.
Anyway, yeah, Matt Campbell, give him a ton of credit for what he's doing there. Hey, thanks, Eric, for giving us a call. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
Take care. There you go. He'll probably be betting Iowa State. I forgot to actually relay the question, but you guys have probably figured it out by now. Iowa State plus 6.5, 6 at home against West Virginia, coming off a big road win over Oklahoma State. Let's jump to the next question we had from Twitter. I know we got to get through these, and then we might take one more call if someone throws it out there. The next one comes, I guess Jay did call in, so he would have been the next question. Following question, Carlos, he had a question about Temple Navy. Line seems even high with Navy's recent woes and Perry's status. Not for me at all. I actually think, or I guess that's what he was saying. Sorry, I misread it in my head. I think it's high. I think if it gets to 7, I actually have to bet Navy, even if Perry doesn't go. So it is 7 now. It was 6.5 earlier today. It actually is 7. So this would be a buy. I think Navy's definitely the side. Temple's like, okay, they've been good. I was higher on them before the season than I've actually been, actually during it. They got lucky. They crushed Maryland, which I still don't even know exactly how they did it. They beat Tulsa, but then they hung with Boston College and they crushed ECU. So I think they're kind of figuring it out after they had some rough starts in the year. I believe was a Villanova that they lost to, and then they followed it up with a loss, I believe, after Villanova. Buffalo beat them. I guess Buffalo is not the worst loss in the world, but they were at home for both games. So I guess it's a gauge of how much you value Temple. Navy getting 7 at home, for me, I think, is a buy point, though, for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this number is just too high. I'm not terribly interested in betting on Navy.
I know you don't like betting the academies at all.
Like we said, betting on the academies or against academies especially just doesn't go that well. But, you know, the thing with Navy and Air Force and these schools that run this option, they can plug in a core. You know, Malcolm Perry being out is not the end of the world for them. They have Zach Abey. They have other guys that can play. So even if they're banged up, I think they're going to be fine at quarterback. And Temple has looked really good, but you've got them coming off a 49-6 win over ECU. They completely dominated that game, and there was some really weird steam on ECU.
Continued all week.
They got a lot of love in that game. That number closed way lower than mine and just wasn't close. But You know, tough spot here. They got Cincinnati and UCF on deck after this. So, you know, facing that triple option, which, you know, we've seen Navy give pretty much every team in the conference problems if they, you know, really regardless of how good Navy is, they can give anyone issues on a given day. Just kind of a tricky spot for Temple. So I'm with you. I think if you're going to take anything, it's probably Navy.
They did beat Memphis already earlier this year. I actually saw, I forgot Memphis. I remembered that Memphis lost to Tulane, and I saw because you guys at Caesars, you put out the weekly conference odds. There's one I'll bet this week, which I won't mention right now.
Okay, all right.
But I was looking, and I saw Memphis at 12-1, and I had forgotten they lost to Navy. I was like, one lost Memphis, and they're not even in the division with UCF. So I thought even if they lost this weekend, they can still, you know, with two losses, get a tiebreaker with
something. Division's
somebody.
Wide
but,
open. They just
but I didn't realize that they have two losses already. I looked back, and I was like, oh, yeah, they blew it against Navy, too. Right. And Navy's been so bad recently that I just totally spaced on that. So 12-1 is actually probably close. I was thinking, though, that they could win out. I mean, Memphis is good.
I was staying low on them. I liked them, but yeah, they're way behind right now. So.
I'm going to throw a couple of games at you to wrap this up. If we have one more caller, we probably have time for one more if you're listening in and want to make a call. This one we talked about briefly is Washington, Oregon. I kind of like Washington. I think 3's low. I know Oregon's coming off of the bye. I'm still not really sure what Oregon's done other than get all the gifts that Cal gave them. The Stanford game, I guess, they blew it, but they did outplay them for most of the time. It was impressive, but is Stanford really that good? I think Washington's on another level. So anyways, I kind of like Washington, but you said you kind of like Oregon. So which give me your pitch on Oregon, even though you said I think the number's too low for you to back them yet.
Yeah, I thought I kind of got my answer as far as, you know, where Oregon is at and how good they are this year with how they came out and responded at Cal after that loss to Stanford. You know, that was one of those where if they are a poorly coached team or just mentally kind of weak this year, you know, they're going to go down and lay down in that spot. But they didn't only win. They won pretty emphatically. So I thought that was pretty impressive, kind of erased some of that bad, you know, feeling from the Stanford game. And Washington just doesn't impress me. Every week they're pretty underwhelming. And you go back, you look at that Auburn win now in the beginning of the year, really not that impressive anymore. Their close loss to Auburn. Yeah, really not impressive now. So you look at that, I mean, just every week, you know, outside maybe the Utah game and I guess BYU, they just haven't really been that dominant. And you got this Oregon team. This is obviously a big rivalry. And the last 2 years, Washington won 38-3. And when they came into Autzen 2 years ago, they won 70-21. So you know Oregon is wanting this game badly. So, you know, I hate to overplay home field and, you know, big game, blah, blah, blah. But I do think against somewhat fraudulent Washington team that Oregon's probably going to find a way here.
So our producer, Jared, threw a game up on the board. Are you an alum of either school or just curious about the game?
Yeah, I just think Miami's incredibly fraudulent.
Ooh, okay.
Especially after that FSU.
So I bet they're under 9.5 wins this year because I thought last year was pretty fluky, and I was upset that they ultimately ended up actually winning the game. I think they were down 20 and scored 21 in a row. It's really close to a play betting the over now. It's been bet down, I think, from 52 to 47.5. That's my best look here. I think Virginia is a little better offensively with Perkins, I believe is his name, at quarterback. It's been kind of a dual threat, but Miami played a new quarterback. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Is it Richard? No.
Perry.
Yeah. Thank you. He has more upside than Rozier did. Rozier was kind of like, he can only, what's a good comp? Like maybe Blake Bortles kind of, if he tries to do too much, then he just threw interceptions. So you have to play a lot of game control and rely on the defense, which last year was nice because they had all the turnovers and then they were getting all the extra bonus, opportunities. With Perry, that's more dynamic where they're able to run the ball a little more. He probably has a better arm. We've only seen him for one game. They started slow. It was his first start, though. I believe it was his first start. Do you know if I might be wrong?
No. He started against North Carolina. And
he started
incredible,
against UNC, too. I think there's upside betting over just because we don't have a ton of data on Perry. And even if he's exactly the same as Rozier and their offense is just as efficient numbers-wise, I still think it should be closer. If I recall, it was closer to 50. So I think there's a little bit of value on the over anyway now at 47.5. So that would be my best look in the game. I don't know if Matt has an opinion on a side or not.
Yeah, I'd say Miami's probably fraudulent. I can't really argue that. But I just, you know, for me, I hate the idea of them really playing pretty poorly against Florida State, stealing that game, and then now they go play an inferior opponent. Are they going to just not show up again? Like, you know, can you really expect them to just come out and have another bad effort after they just survived against their rivals last week? And then I think it's worth noting that I don't want to say the last time they played there, but maybe 4 years ago, they went to Virginia in a bad spot and they just got waxed. So I think they're well aware of what happens when you don't show up in this situation. So, and then, you know, of course, looking at the Virginia side of it, this is far and away the best defense that the Virginia offense has seen all year. So that's another concern for me. So I don't think I could bet Virginia here, but I definitely understand not wanting to go lay points with Miami on the road.
One of my favorite plays last year late in the season, I bet Virginia first quarter, first half, and then money line for the game. Plus, they were getting a bunch of points, I think like 21 at Miami. They ended up losing by 16, but they went up 21-0 really quickly at Miami last year. So, for one, I don't think Miami's going to forget that.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
But Virginia moved the ball on them fine, and Miami ended up scoring 44 on Broncos' defense, which is actually pretty impressive. And so, I mean, that was you can't just look at one game and be like, well, look, they scored 72 points, bet the over 47.5.
Right.
I don't know. I just think there's some familiarity there, and there's just upside to Perry at quarterback now. And I think Perkins, as far as what Virginia could do, has some potential. So, I like the over. I think that's worth some money at least. I think an official full play would have been if it was like 46.5 when I was looking Monday, but I guess that was just yesterday. But I'll be staying away. One last game because it's a marquee game and that's what everyone likes to hear about. And because I made a bet, just an opener that was around for a couple minutes on Sunday, but I took Sparty, who you made fun of earlier today. I think there's a picture of a trash bag.
I hate Michigan State. I hate the whole university.
So I took 15 and 14.5, but the number was just horrible, and they're playing Penn State on the road. It's now down to 13 or 13.5, but do you have any opinion one way or the other, side or total?
You know, what a brutal time. You know, not that I feel bad for them, but what a brutal time to run into Penn State. They gave away the game against Ohio State.
And then they had the bye week.
And they had a bye week, yeah. And I've been sitting home off of that. Michigan State, you know, I really don't know. I will agree with you that D'Antoni, much better in this role, is, you know, getting a bunch of points than he is in last week's where they're laying 10 digits, against Northwestern. Yeah. So I will say they've got that going for them. But, man, watching this team, have they had their, you know, like 49-6 beating yet this year? Have they taken their really bad loss yet? Because
it might be this one is what you're saying.
It might be this one. I don't know. The way this team's playing right now, and you figure they might start to – figure it out a little bit last week against Northwestern. They were still terrible. I don't know. They might just be really bad. I mean, let's keep in mind it's a team that went 3-9 2 years ago. So
it is. I actually like Lewerke. And last year he was pretty solid, and then this year he just makes a ton of mistakes. He just throws a ton of end zone interceptions, red zone interceptions. I'm not sure if he's regressed. I know they have, I think, 4 injuries on the offensive line now from before the season to this point. And I believe 3 of their top 5 receivers are also out from before the season to this point. So that's part of it. I can't blame it all on him. I actually maybe was looking at betting under too, and then it moved within like 3 minutes of open, I think like 4 or 5 points. So I just thought the over 2 touchdowns was worth it, and I could even end up playing back some. But I will say in the similar spot, I think Penn State against Ohio State last year, they ended up going, Michigan State beat them outright. It was at home though, as even a bigger underdog, if I recall. And I wanted to say one more point, and I forgot what it was. But I'm taking the 2 touchdowns. What was it? Oh, you were talking about the trash can, garbage can. You hate Michigan State. Does that have anything to do with college basketball? Is it like pertinent to Kentucky,
you know,
or something?
Both sports, basketball and football. I've just been terrible with Michigan State for like solidly for a decade.
Oh, okay.
I just cannot win.
So it's correlated to when you bet
their
games.
So between that, me, just, you know, every year that I need to beat them in college basketball, they beat whatever team I have a future on. The year that I played them, they lost to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then so all that on top of all the stuff that's happened off the court, off the field, that they obviously haven't been punished for at all.
Yep.
Just on, you know, on top of that, I'm just not a big fan of that university.
That's a good point. I actually completely spaced on that. That makes a lot of sense now, too. Anything last words, Jared? Any games that you're going to be betting this weekend? Cubs games?
Oh,
no.
Why would I do that? Can we talk about the Louisville BC game?
You want to? Oh, yeah. You messaged me. You said that was like your favorite game of the week.
Yeah, no.
All right, we'll end with that. So, people, no more calls, but we'll let Matt talk about BC Louisville.
Right. Well, I want to say, first of all, on the way here, I saw that one of the Louisville players called the BC players slow in a press conference today or something like that. So,
which player?
I don't
like
know.
Like slow in the head?
No, just like he called their defense or their offense slow or something like that. It's like, So that's good to give bulletin board material. When
right.
You're
now, after
five.
You've bet it, some extra
but,
stuff.
You know, it's funny because, like, this is the very first game on the rotation for the Saturday games, and I was just so fascinated by this game. I thought it was really interesting because you look at this last year. Louisville was laying 20 or 21 in this game last year at home with Jackson. They ended up losing the game outright. A.J. Dillon, I think it was his coming out party.
Yeah.
So now you got a 35-point swing on the spread. They're laying 14 now after getting 21 last year. And I know Louisville's bad this year. I don't think anyone can deny that, but I do think that this offense is getting a lot better. Juwan Pass has looked a lot better against Florida State and Georgia Tech. They didn't even show up last week against Georgia Tech in the option after giving that game away against Florida State. I know we talked about how that was kind of a bad spot. So now they're going on the road. Obviously, everyone's writing them off. This is a game they're supposed to lose. There's no pressure of performing well for the fans at this point. Petrino's on the hot seat. And you're going to give me 14 points with Bobby Petrino against a lesser coach and a equally talented, if not lesser talented, program. Like, I just think it's a crazy number. And the way BC played last week, obviously we talked about it earlier, didn't play that well. Should have lost by a lot more. Not really clicking without Dylan right now, him not being healthy. So I don't want to say you have two teams trending in opposite directions because Louisville's not really trending upward, but I do think there's some potential there, whereas BC isn't quite as good as what we thought earlier in the year.
And A.J. Dillon still is questionable. He might not play. I know they're probably just keeping it under wraps if they have to until closer to actual kickoff time. I don't think I'm going to be betting the game. I will say I read and heard about all week, not all week, a couple different times, that Louisville specifically in spring practice practiced against the option so that they could hang with Georgia Tech this year, because they get bit them the last time that they had played it. And then the guy, the defensive coordinator, I forget his name, is like 4-1 against academy schools.
Right.
And 5-0 ATS. And so he was just like the option whisperer. We had a call about it actually on this show last week. And I ended up betting the under anyways, I think. But it moved like 5 points my way, and it had no shot. Georgia Tech went over the total themselves. They scored 66. So it was really weird to see Louisville put so much effort into that game, supposedly. And they did it before the season in spring practice, and then give up 66 anyway. So I don't know if I can really trust them when it's all said and done. So I will root for you, because I am okay with that, not having a single penny on it and hoping that you cash.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, any last thoughts?
Oh, I want to mention I lost a preseason under in overtime. That's sweet.
Huh. You bet NBA preseason unders now?
Well, but you're making fun of the NBA. There were like 8 players out for the Bucks today.
There were. It only moved down 4 points.
Yeah, it's great.
What was the final?
119-115, so I lost the side by a point, too.
I took 7.5 that popped for a second. Mm.
That was fun.
For fun.
Good stuff.
I couldn't even follow it. They were down 7 at halftime. I thought I lost.
Yeah.
That's good.
There were literally like 95 points in the first half, and I lost under 221.
It went from 2 to 7.5, too. It was a massive move both ways.
Yep.
So just whenever you're talking about the NBA, remember you bet on the preseason one night.
Yep.
And that's
not
probably
doing that
again. It for you. Yeah. Hey, thanks, everyone, for listening, following the stream, calling in for those that did. I think there were four or five of you. If you do cover or win a Moneyline dog for our $1,000 contest, I'll add 10 points to it. I think Eric's the only person that I don't know what your Twitter handle is. So, Eric, if you end up listening back to this, send me a message. Like, hey, I'm Eric. This is my Twitter handle, and I'll make a note of it. Everyone else, thanks again. And, yeah, enjoy your week. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.